Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Our guest today is a believer in the power of being unselfish. He showcases that power and unleashing it more than ever in the new book, Enough About Me. MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Also ahead, Prende TV arises from Univision, Our Kind of People comes to Fox, Warner Media's latest diversity outreach, our classic trivia question, we catch up on some late developments last week, and a tribute to sportscaster Dick Stockton, who called it a day last week. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker and Tuner Radio, and presented on Verbal, Amazon Music, and the iHeartRadio Podcast Network. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in the program. Third hour is a very cold day, and it's become a very beautiful afternoon here in the Big Apple, 51 degrees at the top of the hour. And on this Monday, last Monday of March 2021, we welcome you to the program all about TV's current and future. We have 3 episodes coming your way this week. This is the first, and we invite, as always, to be part of the program. If you have a question or comment for our guest, go ahead and interact with us and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country or around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, Tuner Radio. Shy about the phone? No problem. Use our chat room. It's SimonApple04 by name. You can find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Use the phone or the room. Either way, we reach out to you, and you reach back to us. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk, Spreaker, Tune, and Screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee, the author of the brand new book, Enough About Me, will join me next after these news notes. Television's first Spanish-language mega-programming venture is up and available today. Univision's Prende TV offers more than 35,000 hours of content from a variety of sources, arranged under 45 channels and advertisers supported. Most smart TV sets and devices are distributing Prende nationwide, with McDonald's, Verizon, and Clorox among 10 initial participating sponsors. Univision expects to announce more content details on Prende TV, including the possibility of Made for Originals, during its annual mid-May upfront presentation. Fox has set its first new drama series for the 21-22 season in motion. Our Kind of People, adapting the popular book of the same name by Lawrence Otis Graham, follows a single mother's effort to succeed as a hair care entrepreneur. Empire and Star executive producer Lee Daniels will team up with Grey's Anatomy's writer and executive producer, who also worked on Star, Karen Gist, to oversee the series. More diversity expansion activity at Warner Media. The company will begin a new writer's pipeline initiative with The Blacklist, the online showcase of original movie and TV series scripts. Under this venture, historically black colleges and universities, plus other organizations, will be utilized to identify up to 600 writers. Each writer will get a voucher to use The Blacklist free for a month and get professional evaluation of their work. Warner Media will keep this initiative going for at least 6 months. And Film 44, the production company formed by director-actor Peter Berg, has a new TV series and film development agreement with Netflix. First TV series in play there, Painkiller, a scripted overview of the opioid epidemic. In related news, Endeavor Executive Vice President Lorenzo Di Maio is ending his role there to start up a new production company with major investment from Fremantle. Di Maio's enterprise will create scripted and unscripted series while advising Fremantle on new growth possibilities. We'll have a group of news note quickies for you at the bottom of the hour. But right now, joining me here in New York, MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee. Richard, thanks for joining us. Pleasure to have you.
Hey, Simon, thanks for being here. Thanks for having me, and it's good to be here.
It is a pleasure. You know, Richard, when journalists like yourself write books, it's usually in one of several categories. It's either career retrospective, how to bring people into the business, a retrospective on history, and in some cases, you're covering it. This book you've gotten, Enough About Me, does not fall into that category. How did you decide to put it together?
Yeah, it. My mom and dad always said, when other people zig, I zag. This book is really kind of inspired here, Simon, by my experience caring for my father over the last 7 years, who's in California. I'm in New York like yourself. And as he has lived with Alzheimer's, it's become more challenging, certainly for the family. And I wanted to be part of that care for him. And so I had to really ask the question internally, you know, what does it mean to change what you wanted to do in your career so intentionally with so much energy, and then to shift it in a way that may not make sense? Then began the journey, if you will, of trying to understand what it means to make decisions that are for somebody else in a way that can affect your great desires and love. In my case, it was journalism. And so that's why we have a book called Enough About Me, The Unexpected Power of Selflessness, because I've been absolutely surprised where I thought something might be a great sacrifice might be deductive. Instead, it's been additive, kind of like 1 + 1 = 3.
Along that journey, Richard, what did you learn? What did your family learn about the power of being unselfish, the power of not having selfish be a part of the process?
I think we're still a work in progress here, Simon. It's sort of like, you know, you're in it and you're not really documenting the lessons. It's a lot like when you put together your resume. You have to think back, okay, what actually happened? What did I really learn? And for us, in terms of learning more about being less selfish or more selfless, I don't know if we actually know what it is that we have learned at the moment, because, you know, we're still making some tough decisions. We don't agree on everything. And we are healthy arguers. So we're still debating a lot of big questions, you know, how to pay for things, how do we take care of care, who do we bring into the home to take care of mom, things like that. I would say that in the book and in writing it, what I have learned is that it's not a one or zero. It's not either or. It is really and, both living in a selfish way sometimes and selfless, often at the same time. But more often in the balance of living through that decision simultaneously, meaning having a selfish and selfless decision or activity, that it is leaning in balance in that process more selfless.
Mm-hmm. You called it just a moment ago a work in progress, what you're dealing with. Would you say that the progress is proceeding better, let's say now, than when you started the journey 7 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're getting better at it, certainly, Simon. I think what we're doing right now is we know that we've made the decision, all four of us children, to do the best we can and to give of ourselves the best that we can. And we all had different reactions to it in the beginning. You know, some of us froze, some of us dived in, some of us dived in and then backed off. And then, you know, every kind of process and step you can think of, we've gone through and lived through as a family.
We're speaking with Richard Lee, the MSNBC anchor person. He's here with me in the Big Apple this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, and he has a book that came out last week. It's from Zondervan, the HarperCollins Specialty Division, called Enough About Me. And later on this hour, we're going to offer it as one of our classic trivia question prizes. If a question or comment for Richard, don't be shy. Make the call, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And later on, we're going to talk about a special event that he'll be co-hosting in the very near future. And we'll also get his thoughts about where he sees diversity on television, especially with the Asian American community. Anyway, this is the first of three episodes we're doing on the program All About the Tube. Simon App, I'm with you live from New York. We have another edition coming your way, special edition, either 60 or 90 minutes on Wednesday, less than 48 hours from now. My lead guest will be the Chief Executive Officer of Angel Studios, the brand new crowdfunding venture that was started last week with $5 million in crowdfunding. The idea, get new TV series and movies off the ground. His name is Neil Hellman. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Angel Studios, formerly been Angel. He's our lead guest. Also, we will have a second go with Lupe. We introduced this service to you last year. It's the video art service that is put together on smart TV sets and smart devices. Founder and Chief Executive Dot Bustelo will join us. Plus, this Saturday, Lifetime has its latest made-for-TV movie, Mahalia, about the great gospel singer and civil rights advocate Mahalia Jackson, played by the brilliant star Danielle Brooks. We hope to have executive producer Linda Berman on for an exclusive interview. That's coming up Wednesday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In the book, it's not just about what you deal with, but you also make the thought that we are dealing as a society with what you term as a selfish pandemic. And I'm wondering how you came to that conclusion.
You know, as we put together some of the things that this is a journalist's view overall, Simon, like the way we approach the book, the way we're coming up with some of the ideas is, you know, you can be qualitative, but you need to be quantitative as well. And so I would say as a journalist, I have unfortunately had to report on a lot of mass killings. And Colorado is our most recent. Atlanta, right before that. Newtown, Connecticut, El Paso, Texas, and that goes on and on and on. And that unfortunate reality as a journalist is to say, why is this happening? And we have individuals that are the epitome of selfishness, thinking that they can take life, that their point of view is the right point of view, to the point where they would actually commit that crime. That, in addition to what we experienced in terms of racial strife in the last year, not new to the country, certainly, but that's the recent spike in racial strife. And that resulted in a reaction to folks who were not able to see outside themselves and treating one group of people based on the color of their skin in different ways in all sorts of spheres. And then there's the viral pandemic that we have been living through, and those that thought that not wearing a mask around those who would be highly susceptible to the virus would be okay, not thinking that it could affect the other person. And our scientists that we have in society that we look to for answers are saying don't do that, but yet there were some of us that didn't do that. And so I think all of those things, along with just seeing how cheap violence and how cheap hate has been in recent years, as a journalist, as I report on many stories, not only when it comes to mass killings, but in other parts of our society, all of that came together to say we're living through a selfish pandemic, and that, you know, the book is a small attempt to show small ways, everyday ways of combating that, of a small antidote towards that problem.
Mm-hmm. What did you see in researching that side of the book that you think we can do, and especially in our profession as journalists, to combat this pandemic?
As journalists, we can certainly tell stories that identify the best practices of being selfless. And in the book, for instance, I bring up some examples of that. As you know, Simon, we can't always start with that story. When I was in, for instance, in Paris during a terrorist attack, could I start with the story of an individual that came up to me who was very selfless in nature because the city was on lockdown to tell me, we will fight, we will be stronger. And this is why, Richard. Would I start with the person that took me on a long drive through the no-go zone, which was basically another way of saying that was the Muslim area, don't go there. You know, would I start the story with that? No, I wouldn't, because the story starts with the attack. And I think as journalists is not to forget the other side of that story, of the amazing people that always stand up during these situations. Tiffany Parada, who I write about in the book, who in El Paso, Texas, with her four children in the back of their old Suburban, after the shooter drives by in his Accord, they try to get away, and then she and her husband talk to each other, and they turn their car around, and they drive towards the shooter in his car to try to bypass, to get past him, to warn the people in front of him. And what drove this family to do that with four young children in the back seat? And so I think as journalists, we have an opportunity, certainly, to not forget those who counterbalance what might be very selfish individuals, to talk about the thing that is fixing the problem. Outside of that, some of the science that we brought on a scientist and a researcher for the book to look into the science of how to be selfless and what works. And one of the studies that we dig into came out of Stanford, where it shows if you and I don't like each other because of our ethnic background, the color of our skin, that the measures of prejudice, the indicators of prejudice that you and I have against each other, go away after we meet three times for a lunch, a coffee, a gathering, an event. The indicators go down to just above zero. And that is by measurement of cortisol and other stress chemicals in our body, increases of dopamine and oxytocin, for instance, the happiness, if you will, chemicals in our body. So those are some of the ways that we approach it, Simon.
Two things that have popped up for me, particularly in this past year, is one, A, can common ground be one of the ways to be a more unselfish way of the people? And two, to try not to jump to conclusions on a story.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
No matter what the story is. And it seemed to me that, particularly in the last couple of weeks, the mass shootings in Atlanta, the mass shooting in Boulder, that in both cases, there was initial conclusion made about who the person was and what the motivation was. And in spite of the fact that local officials were saying this is what caused the situation, the initial jump is still being prevalent in terms of the reporting, or it's still the impression that is catching on with people.
Yeah, that's 101, right, Simon? We got to get the facts right, right? And get our two sources, three sources, whatever the protocol is for your organization based on the story context. And that is step number one, that we have to get it right. And I think when it comes to understanding what might be selfless in this space is, understanding the selfless brain is pretty tough to see. And that's why questions are required. And getting to know other people is really important to make such understandings productive. And so there is that thing of looking behind the forehead. And when we're being selfless, the ways we can look behind the forehead is to ask simple questions and use simple things in our language, for instance, to really ask, how are you? And really listen to how are you. What does that mean? Whether it's a camp that you are part of, right? It's your tribe, or even if it's outside of your tribe, you still ask that same question. How are you? Many folks just don't see the other side because we're not seeing the human in the other person. We're seeing them as less than, and that's certainly not the case. And when we talk about the hate crimes against the Asian American Pacific Islander community, that is a less than situation. That the perception is that group is not up to snuff, if you will, not up to par of who I am in my humanity. And one way to get past that is to really just, for instance, that three lunches out of Stanford, that would work. How are you? Would work. But it is painful. I mean, I'm a member of the Asian American Pacific Islander community, and this was a real explosion of a reality of the way the community is seen writ large culturally.
Mm-hmm. No. The book is called Enough About Me. The writer is MSNBC's anchor person, Richard Lee. He is our guest this first half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. He joins me here in New York, where it's 51 degrees at the top of the hour. Simon Abbott, I'm with you live from New York. And coming up in our second half hour, we're going to offer Enough About Me as one of our classic trivia prizes. So stay tuned. You get a chance to win a little bit later on in the program. And if you have a question or comment for Richard in our remaining moments with him, make the call 646-652-2906 or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Turning to other things, Richard, you have a special event that you're going to be co-hosting with one of your MSNBC colleagues a little bit later on this week.
Yes, Alicia Menendez, who is one of the hosts on MSNBC. She and I will be celebrating the Sheroes in media and journalism, and it is for Women's History Month. What a great honor to be there to hold up some of the great the great folks that are leading our journalistic associations, our media organizations. And I cannot wait for that. As a 7 or 8 year old, I guess I'm 8 years old now, as an 8 year old feminist, Simon, I couldn't ask for a better honor than to be part of that event, because certainly to see the leadership across all of our journalistic organizations, to see that they are all sheroes, is a great underline to the month.
Mm. This year, really in the last year, it seems that the effort to expand diversity on television has really soared in all sorts of ways. We've said from the beginning that if you want to expand diversity on television, that it cannot be one silver bullet. It doesn't fit all. You have to go to all sorts of different levels. It seems that more and more these levels are getting hit, whether it is, in the case of the Asian American community, more Asian American writers, series creators forming their own production companies, getting deals with the likes of a Netflix or Hulu and Amazon, getting series on the air, first-timers being allowed to showrun their own programs. We just saw a woman, Kelly Mee Lee, who was featured in the Netflix series Bling Empire. She has her own production company. She just launched the first scripted series on Roku called Cypher. We're trying to get her, by the way, for an interview on our show. We hope either this week or next week. Kung Fu, the new version of the popular series of the 70s with David Carradine, coming back on the CW. It is overseen by Asian Americans, Asian American in the lead, and most of the cast. What's your thoughts right now about where diversity is at on television, especially with the Asian American Pacific Islander community?
Yeah, first of all, yeah, Simon, I think representation in all the different groups, Latino American, African American, Asian American, Native American, LGBTQ, all of these spaces need to have representation, and not only in because of the color of our skin or the orientation that we have, but also what we think. So Simon, you've got the yellow card, for instance, right? You understand what AAPIs are going through, but it's something that we all need to lean in on. Representation is huge. And I'll give you one statistic. For the Asian American Pacific Islander community, which you can tell based on what's happened today, there is a need, one might say, for a civil rights awareness, an opening of eyes, a movement. Potentially. And that community has really never had one. Yet it remains a punching bag for jokes. It is often looked down upon. It is culturally not held up as valuable as one-to-one. Would you pay more money, for instance, for an Asian meal? Like, would you pay what you pay in a European restaurant? You know, those are all questions and indicators of a community that has faced a lot of these sorts of microaggressions as well as attacks now, unfortunately, and yet with very little cost, no price. You had a bad day, you're a little drunk, you're not happy at work, go let it out on the Asian American community. Now, I say that because I'm thinking back to the 1800s. I'm thinking of when it's very common that's what folks would do, because Asians didn't have any right to testify. There was a law that said Asians cannot testify. And when you bring that forward, that was one civil rights moment in the Asian American history. The only other moment was really, if you will, in terms of a movement, was Vincent Chin in 1982, when he was beaten in the street with a bat and died. And I saw his autopsy pictures. It didn't look like a human head. The two people, the two assailants, were given $3,000 fine and 3 months probation. And since then to now, we haven't seen really the solidification of what an Asian American movement might be. In other words, the hey, I'm here, right? The opposite of the perpetual foreigner, which has been even to today, that is the overall thematic and the existence of being AAPI. So yeah, we're living through a very special time, and showing up, like looking like me, is important, because you know what? The reports that you've seen, Simon, probably half of them, if not the majority, would not have come forward if you did not have 1,500 members of the Asian American Journalists Association, because the community has always been scared if they do, and the polls show it, they don't like to talk about this stuff. They don't like to give the story out, but because they see Asian American Pacific Islander reporters out there, 1,500 now, they're giving them the source and the tips and the stories, so they're getting told before they would be brushed under the rug. This is a huge difference. I was talking about 1982. There were only maybe dozens of members of the Asian American Journalists Association. Now there are 1,500 across the country. Representation has counted huge in understanding how big these hate incidents and hate crimes are across the country today for this community.
By the way, before you go, is there an effort by the Asian American Journalists Association to maybe work with some of the Asian American entertainment producers to try to dramatize some of these incidents and what we ought to, as a society, learn from them? And it seems that the time is right because of two things in particular. One is that we're seeing more people of color in the gatekeeper role. You know, Perlina Brique at NBC Universal, Bella Bajaran, who is now the head of global TV at Netflix, Sue Hugh, who we had interviewed on our show several years ago when she was executive producing the AMC series The Terror, which ran for two seasons. She is now working at Universal Content Productions on an Asian American content lab to try to develop new talent from that community to do their thing.
Yeah, I mean, the conversations, what's good is that the muscle set is always there. Cesar Conde, when he first joined as the chairman over the news group, said, amongst many things, he wanted more long form that represented the fabric of America. He laid out the 50% challenge to have half of all of the content and the people that are doing the content to represent, again, people of color. Janine Jones over at NBC Universal also been implementing programs to bring in diverse voices and to be inclusive in the creative process. Are there projects out there right now? Yes. For instance, I had a third project. I just came up with a movie over the last year. It's airing on a major cabler and streaming platform in May. But the third project that we were going to work on related to a certain space has now shifted to this very space that you just brought up. So yes, and I've been talking with other executives that are in the narrative space that you're talking about. And yes, they're also seeing what can we do to bring the educational and entertainment spaces together, right? To understand what this dynamic is.
And by the way, that goes for all different communities of color.
That's correct.
Last week, by the way, Richard, we had the executive producer of Soul of a Nation, the new ABC News magazine that is dealing with the African-American community, and they're hoping that that will be the beginning of something there at ABC News, which will do some of the magazines for the Asian-American, the Latino, Native-American, et cetera, community.
And Simon, that is so important. So, for instance, the Shiro's program that's being put on by David Morgan and MMCA, that is so important because that is the under, and his organization has done that from the very beginning, to underline the intersectional beauty of the way things get done. And that is the only way, is through allyship, is through understanding each community across all communities of color and the white community as well. All of these groups need to work together to understand. So you're right. These things don't happen in silos. I know you're asking me about the Asian American community, but the AAPI community, the majority of the community, understands that's the way you get things done. That's the way it is better for the country. It cannot be in your own corner alone.
One more time, the name of the book is called Enough About Me. It came out last week on Zondervan, which is the specialty publishing house of HarperCollins. If you want more details about the book online, here's where you go, www.zondervan, is Zondervan.com. It's www.zondervan.com. And in our second half hour, we're going to offer a copy of that book as one of our classic trivia question prizes. And remember, you can catch Richard on MSNBC. For more details about that service, www.msnbc.com, available on cable and satellite. all the country. Check your local list for where it's available in your area. And Richard, I would love to have you back on the program. You mentioned this May for TV movie project you're doing. When that is ready to go, it runs in May. We'd like to have you back and talk about it.
You got it, Simon. Thanks for talking about these important topics.
It is a pleasure. That's one of our, by the way, that's one of our mandates from this program from the get-go is to showcase diversity on television in all sorts of forms, and we will stay on the trail as long as we have to.
Go get them.
Will do, Richard. Thanks again for joining us. All the very best with the book and everything else you're doing. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Simon.
You're welcome. Take care. Richard Lee joining us live from New York. Again, the name of the book is Enough About Me. And stay tuned because our next half hour, you get the opportunity to get a copy through our classic trivia question segment. And before we do that, we're going to take a web identification break. Also coming up in our next half hour, we'll have our special up segment about some developments that took place over the course of the last week, particularly the last half of the week, some of them involving communities of color. Also, a tribute to Dick Stockton, who called it a career as one of the best sportscasts on television late last week. All that and more after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, Spreaker.com, and TuneIn.com. Together, reaching over 55 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Don't forget, BTR is your home tomorrow from the Jerron Nichols Show. Check it out. It's entertaining, informational, and a whole lot more. A different kind of daytime radio. The Jerron Nichols Show tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, 9:30 a.m. Pacific. The Jerron Nichols Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. And remember, best of BTR 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of Tomorrow Be Televised, coming away on this Monday, last one of March 2021. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. Boy, that was a terrific time with Richard. Really want to thank him for coming aboard and for everything he is doing at MSNBC and on behalf of not just the Asian American Pacific Islander community, but all communities of color and all of us as society with his new book, Enough About Me. Stay tuned. We're going to offer that book as a classic trivia prize later in this half hour. Also, we've got some News Note quickies, and we have our special up segment dealing with some special developments that may have gotten overlooked a little bit in the course of late last week, and a tribute to sportscaster Dick Stockton, who called it a career late last week for Fox after, a 50-year-plus career in calling some of the best sports on television. But first, we have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com, our sponsor. One of the great classics of all time, Leo Tolstoy's Anna Karenina, has a brand new version out now on Audible.com, narrated by the Oscar-nominated actress Maggie Gyllenhaal. And you can get it if you decide to make the next month a one-month trial in Audible.com. You know, Audible.com is, more than ever, the leading provider of spoken digital entertainment, information, and inspiration. Over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen to them on any device, whatever you're hearing us on right now, at Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Verbal, etc. All you got to do is sign up for the one-month trial at audibletrial.com/televised. That's audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audiobook, one-month trial, great customer service from Audible's parent Amazon, and some special health and wellness material also can make a difference in you or the lives of others you know. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, great news for you. Two audiobooks for the price of one, and one of those can be, one of the terrific and growing catalog of Audible originals. We're talking about original audio material and podcasts, best the Broadway or Broadway Regional Theater, and great one woman and one man performances. So how about making today the day that you discover how Audible.com can transform the way you hear the world? And as always, it makes a great gift any time of the year for you or someone you love. For all details, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Now some News Note quickies. Discovery Plus will celebrate Earth Day, that's April 22nd, with new series Action Planet, featuring environmental projects by celebrities from Common to Jane Fonda. Hulu has found its new lead actress for long-planned miniseries The Dropout. Amanda Seyfried will assume the role of Theranos founder Elizabeth Holmes from Kate McKinnon, who left the production last month for undisclosed reasons. New Spanish-language broadcast station KEMO launched this morning in San Francisco. Channel 50 will be an affiliate of Estrella TV, the National Spanish-Language Network. An unscripted series, Wall, that's WHL Street, following Mark Wahlberg's business adventures off camera, comes to HBO Max April 15th, Eyes of April. The service also will give a second season, The Not Too Late Show with Elmo, this fall. And that is News Notes for today. Now time for our classic trivia segment. We're looking for our third winner in the last 4 weeks, fourth over the month. on change. And now we have three prizes for you. The original motion picture soundtrack of Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, by the brilliant John Williams. Wycliffe Jean, Carnival Volume 2, Memories of an Immigrant. And now, the brand new book we discussed in our first half hour, Enough About Me, from MSNBC anchor person Richard Lee. All that could be yours if you know the answer to this classic trivia question. Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcing sidekick? Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcing sidekick? Super Dave Osborne was the stunt performance satire a la Evil Knievel, created by the late Bob Einstein, the producer behind such variety shows as the Sunday Chair Comedy Hour. It starred as a character on the popular variety series from Showtime, Bizarre, then got his own series for about four or five seasons on Showtime. And that's the question. Who was Super Dave Osborne's announcer or announcing sidekick? If you know the answer, email me at simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. First with the correct answer, you win. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow on Facebook and on Twitter. Facebook is Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. Over 750 people follow us along on Twitter. We post notes on the latest in the TV industry, award show updates, and all sorts of great things as well. So check it out. And by the way, speaking of places where you can check me out, check out my latest stories about the TV world on Media Village, the Media Leadership website. That's at www.mediavillage.com. But right now, being our classic trivia question of the week, who knows, you could be our latest winner sooner than you think. So be in the know now, make your entry count, and of course, all the very best. And now it's time for another segment of Up. Usually, Up means update, where we catch up on guests and topics that we've had previously on this program. However, late last week, there were a number of developments that popped that didn't get a lot of attention initially because either they came really late in the week or other things, you know, sort of overrode the situation. And there were three ventures that we think you ought to know more about that, well, in the case of the first one, it came out on Friday night. Friday night is usually a night, by the way, where if there's TV news, it's usually a cancellation of a show or an obituary, something like that. Well, not in the case of George R.R. Martin, the creator and executive producer of HBO's classic series Game of Thrones. Martin agreed to a brand new 5-year contract to develop programming for both HBO and HBO Max. In case you don't know, Martin is already working on a lot of projects for HBO and HBO Max, three Game of Thrones prequel pilots. He also has the brand new series House of the Dragon, which is another prequel to or inspired by Game of Thrones. The production actually will start in England in next month, and it hopes to go on, and it will go on HBO next year. He's also working on a project based on his Tales of Duck and Egg novellas. And he's also working on projects of things from other science fiction writers, including a series based on the great work of Roger Zelazny. And aside from that, he also is involved with Wildcard, the anthology project he's been working with for decades with other authors that will hopefully very soon be in the production on Peacock. It's in development right now. That was announced earlier in the month. Originally set for Hulu, and then earlier this month it was moved to Peacock. So congratulations to George R.R. Martin. No question that HBO and HBO Max see Game of Thrones spinoffs as their big new franchise to keep an eye on, and Martin himself being the franchise originator and creator. Story number two was speculation about BET launching its own studios department, the same way that fellow Viacom CBS cable channels MTV and Comedy Central have done the same. What we don't know is whether this is going to be tied in with the proposed new studio project from Kenya Barris, the creator of Blackish, Grown-ish, Mixix, and other shows. Currently, he is still involved with Netflix in terms of his deal to create programming there with his own production company. But there has been talk that, and there has been talk that he will move things over from Netflix in terms of new content development to this new operation, which will either be part of BET Studios or a separate venture involved with Viacom CBS. At this hour, we don't know where things are at. The Netflix venture is still happening. We'll keep it waiting and seeing. But as soon as we know something about either BET Studios or Kenya Barris involved with that or something else, we'll let you know. And finally, last week, Tyler Perry made an announcement that had a little item that wasn't given a lot of play, and it really ought to have been. Tyler Perry announced last week that he is launching a brand new series, which is going to be on BET Plus this summer, dealing with a male exotic strip club or strip venture. What was not given a lot of play is that this is the first of a new program development initiative that Perry will be doing. Up until now, Perry has written and directed all of his television projects, leading back to his work with the Oprah Winfrey Network, The Have and the Have Nots, If Loving You is Wrong, et cetera, et cetera. Well, this is the first example of this program development initiative where rather than Perry writing and directing the project, it's proteges, it's new talent that this new unit discovers. The unit is headed by Michelle Seed, who is Perry's main executive producer on his other TV work. So we'll see what happens. We'll stay in touch, and we'd love to maybe get Sneed on or the creators of this new venture that will be launching on BET Plus in the fall. We understand that the programming will be for BET, for BET Plus, and maybe for other services as well in the Viacom CBS family. So stay tuned. More details on that. So those are our up topics this time around. George R. R. Martin with his new HBO and HBO Max development venture, the whole situation with BET Studios, and Tyler Perry's new program development unit that will kick off with a new series on BET Plus this summer. Finally, we wanted to pay great respects, and I mean great respects, to one of the best sportscasters in the business who hung it up last week, Dick Stockton. For more than 50 years, Stockton has been one of the great national play-by-play voices around, whether it's been the NBA on CBS, whether it's been NFL games both on CBS and then for the last quarter of a century on Fox with a variety of commentators, whether it's been coverage of college sports, basketball, football, or whether it's coverage of the Olympics on when CBS had them, Winter Olympics coverage. Stockton was one of the great versatile sportscasts around. Anytime you heard his voice, you knew it was an event. His enthusiasm for the event, good days, bad days, was always on cue. Really, really marvelous work from him all the time. And he could jump in anything. He's also a great local sportscaster in Boston for many years on Boston Red Sox games. Well, Stockton, in a press release, announced last year with his work on the NFL games on a regional basis for the regular season, that was it. And he's now in his mid-70s, still looks sensational, and he decided, I'm going to hang it up, and I'm going to let other young sportscasters get the break that I did to really advance their careers, as he did with first CBS and then with Fox. I'll be sorry to see him leave the scene. He was one of the very best. And I have an idea for Fox. I really hope that when Fox NFL Sunday returns for the next NFL regular season, that at some point during that first episode, Dick Stockton comes out and take a public bow. It would be really unfortunate if the press release was the last we heard of Dick Stockton, at least as far as his career goes. He really deserves a public bow, a more formal bow, and I hope he gets it the first weekend of the NFL season, Sunday afternoons, on Fox, because he's one of those people that really made it work. Like I said, Stockton was as versatile a sportscaster as there can be. He was great with any commentator, always gave them great space, great enthusiasm, one of the very, very best. He should definitely be in the Sportscasters Hall of Fame somewhere, along with the Baseball Hall of Fame, too, for his TV work on baseball games both nationally and locally. I understand that in terms of national coverage, that Stockton was a play-by-play person for more than 1,500 individual games. When you put it all together, baseball, basketball, hockey, and football. That's right, one of the very few sportscasters to do all four major league sports, as well as on the college level. That's an amazing record that may never be broken, given the state of sportscasting today. I hope that Dick has a fantastic retirement. I hope that he stays involved with sports television to some degree. Maybe does like Richard Lee did, maybe a book of some sort, whatever he'd like to do. I really hope so. It would be wonderful. And I hope that he maybe takes some time to advise the new generation of sportscasters. They all have a lot to learn from Dick Stockton. Dick, all the very best to you, your family, and your many, many followers. Thank you for all the wonderful moments you provided in covering the world of sports these last five decades and change. Well, that will do it for this edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Again, thank you to Richard Lee for being with us, and thanks for all the things he had to say about his new book, Enough About Me, published by Zondervan, the HarperCollins special subsidiary. If you want more details about the book, www.zondervan.com. Of course, you can catch him regularly on MSNBC in various time periods, www.msnbc.com. And again, be involved in our classic trivia question, because one of those prizes now is Lee's book, Enough About Me. But Star Wars, The Phantom Menace, soundtrack by John Williams, and the Wyckoff Gene Carnival, Volume 2, Memoirs of an Immigrant album. One more time, let's give you that question. Who was Super Dave Osborne's sidekick and announcer? So if you know the answer, email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you're emailing from. And if first with the correct answer, you'll win. I understand we had somebody in our chat room, for some reason, and by the way, I think left the room. So thanks for getting in the room. And if you have a question or comment, come back in the next couple moments. And if you do, we'll answer that question for you on the air. Once again, first of three episodes we're doing this week. We'll be back with you on Wednesday and Friday. Coming up on Wednesday, either a 60 or 90 edition. First up, remember VidAngel, the controversial family-friendly way to see movies and TV shows in family-friendly versions that were edited, got into a whole lot of legal hoosegow? Well, we will have the person behind VidAngel, Neil Harmon, will be back with us, because now he is chief executive officer of a spinoff called Angel Studios that last week raised $5 million in crowdfunding income. The idea is to fund new television series and movies. And also, Angel is involved with a series that was crowdfunded several years ago called The Chosen, which, by the way, made millions of dollars for Angel and has gotten great reviews, like 100% reviews on Rotten Tomatoes. Well, a second season of The Chosen is now in production. Hopefully it will come out later this year. We'll talk to Neil about that and about his new crowdfunding project. Also, we'll revisit Lupe, the video art network that's available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, just on Samsung smart TV sets last week. Don Pastello, the founder and chief executive of that venture, will be with us. And we also have one of the executive producers of the new Lifetime made-for-TV movie, Mahalia, with that role of the great gospel singer and civil rights advocate performed by the terrific artist and multi-talented Danielle Brooks. So be sure to be with us. If we do get that person on, we'll go 90 minutes. If not, we'll be a full hour. And we will be with you on Good Friday 2021. We don't know yet who our guests will be. We'll keep you posted throughout the week. If you came in late on today's program, want to catch up on episodes you missed, one way to do it, go to our homepage. That's blogtalkradio.com/televised. www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. Remember, you can check on our podcasts and our programs from all month long at special pages like Amazon Music, iHeartRadio's Podcast Network, verbal.com, great new podcast destination. We really enjoyed being on there. Plus, you can go to blogtalkradio.com/televised, as well as Apple TV, iTunes, as well as TuneIn.com and Spreaker Podcast. Incidentally, if there's a podcast site that doesn't take our program and you'd like it to, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher Radio, Westwood One Podcast Network, et cetera, well, politely, contact those organizations. Let them know you'd like to see our show on. Have them get in contact with us, and we will do the very, very rest. So remember, our podcasts are available 24/7, and we hope to expand our podcast lineup as we go forward in 2021. Love to hear what you thought about what Richard had to say today, and what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it's going. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. You can also find me on Facebook and follow me on Twitter and LinkedIn. LinkedIn.com, Twitter.com, at UBCCSimon, and at Facebook.com. However you communicate, I do respond within 24 hours, and there's a great reason why. What you say matters, now more than ever. The views expressed here are those of the participants, not only those of Blog Talk Radio and other distributors of this program. Our production associate from BTR is Mandolin, Andy Toews, Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonnenberg, head of content. The co-founders of this enterprise are Al Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow Be Televised is brought to you by Audible.com and Amazon Division. Remember, Audible will transform the way you hear the world. For a free audiobook or two, 1 month trial, and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Make a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year. For Tomorrow Be Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Have a great rest of your Monday. We're back with you less than 48 hours from now, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, this Wednesday. You know where, Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, Amazon Music, Verbal, and the iRadio Podcast Network. Whatever you're up to between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And let's lick this pandemic now more than ever. And oh, yes, let's be unselfish about it, too. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.